Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm your host, James White. This is Northwest Liberty News. Thanks so much for joining me here today on the second day of June 2022. And that we'll be joined by Derek Skies coming up here. Well, first of next hour, he'll be coming in the studio here in that door over there. You can't see it now, but everything's set up for him on the other side. And he will be coming into the studio here shortly. And we'll have him here at 1 p.m. On the broadcast to talk about HB 572, which is the school martial program. Now, you wonder why you, well, I hope you don't wonder why we want to talk about that, especially with what's been going on here recently with, you know, the school shootings and the foiled school shootings that have been taking place here across the country. You know, I don't know what the future holds. All I know is that's a vulnerable area there in schools. And I know that the people on, you know, the enemies of this country and enemies of humanity are going to take as much advantage as they can of whatever situation they can. So I think something needs to be done at the schools. Now, I don't think that arming the teachers is what needs to be done because, frankly, some of these teachers are loony. I wouldn't want them, you know, I wouldn't want them operating a fishbowl, you know, let alone having a gun, for crying out loud. Some of these don't even know what gender they are, honestly. And that's a problem for me. So I don't really want them carrying guns and firearms. Perhaps you know, there are a lot of former military in this country. Perhaps a former military could stand guard in front of the schools, or, you know, have a single point of entry. You know, I don't know exactly what the answer is. I want to be able to certainly balance, you know, the you know, individual liberties, of course, are vital. And safety of our children are vital. So there's some way that we can certainly do both and strike a balance between both of those. And that's, I think, what needs to be legislated in the next legislative session. I'm going to talk to the people that I know that are in the legislature. And, well, I'll be having one on today, Derek Skies, the man who actually wrote the legislation, and see how we're doing on that. I know that's signed into law. So I don't know if it needs funding, if it needs another special, you know, ballot initiative for funding. I just don't know. And I'm sure we'll get to the bottom of all that here later on today. Now, we do have a call-in line now. You can call into the show here at 563-999-3736. 563-999-3736. You don't have to be in Montana to call in. If you want to call in and talk about any topics, really, it's fine with me. The rules of the call-in line are always the same as they have been since I've been doing call-ins. And that is, you just be respectful. Don't be abusive. You don't have to agree with me or any of the guests that I have on. And try to keep it family friendly if you can. And that's really about it. There's really no quote-unquote hardcore rules. Just be respectful. Again, and just don't be abusive, but you're happy to call into the show. Again, the line is right there on the screen, 563-999-3736. And I may have to add the blog talk thing here to this deal here. I think I do, if I remember correctly, because I haven't done that in so long. So I'm going to add this little blog talk thing here, but I'm going to make it real small and put it there again so it's out of the way. I think I need to have that before people call in. Before anybody can hear them, they have to have that little blog talk deal over here on the screen. So just ignore it. Pretend it's not even there. Anyway, we're trying to kick off the Northwest Liberty News broadcast again, and I'm going to be doing some work on the website this morning, and it needs a lot more work. It needs to be caught up regularly, and that's one of the things that I'm committed to do. I'm trying to get some scheduling and timing down now since some things have changed in my schedule in the morning. And I'm trying to get everything straightened out where I can get everything in the course of a day, and including the radio shows, any other side work that I have, any interviews, and any updates to the website. So bear with me. and I am working towards that, and I do appreciate your patience on that. We are going to hopefully be broadcasting on Red State Talk Radio these broadcasts, and I have to get in touch with Scott Adams there, and I'd be happy and delighted to go back over there to a Blog Talk Radio or a Red State Talk Radio, because I have broadcast there plenty of times before. First class guy. He's a good dude, and I really like Scott, and I like his broadcast, and he's got some friends of mine that are broadcasting over there, and he's got a good show and a good network. So hopefully we'll get that straightened out, and I'll be broadcasting there. Also, hopefully broadcasting on another Montana network here in the central part of Montana, working on that now, and we'll see how that works out. So, you know, we're at times right now, folks, where all hands have to be on deck, and we have to, you know, as I said on my last broadcast, there's no reason to wait for headquarters. It's time for, right now is the time to act, because there's not a whole lot of time left before the food they're going to kick in. They're going to try to starve us out. I mean, this should be something that I think at this point we can probably see, we should be able to see. This is sort of the game plan that they're going to be rolling out with, is they're going to try to starve us and take away our resources and, you know, get us, you know, weak and emaciated. And who knows, are they going to try to bring in, they're going to declare martial law and try to bring in UN troops, the white helmets? Don't know. They certainly could. That's something that I believe that they probably war gamed. They probably considered that option or war gamed that option. It's going to shock you, but they don't call me in on those meetings. And I doubt they ever will. So if you want to find out what's going on with my broadcast and the different social media channels and whatnot, you can go to libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. And I'm going to be putting on Northwest Liberty News. I'm going to be adding, links to the different social media locations and everything there as well. When I, again, I was working on that somewhat this morning. I've got some stuff that's outdated there, and I got to redo some things and update some plugins and that type of thing. So, yeah, keep an eye out there for Northwest Liberty News, because I will be actually going back to writing articles. I haven't written articles in a while. I'm taking a break from writing articles because there's been so much other stuff video-wise that I've been doing radio-wise. But I'm going to get back to writing the articles and post them there in Northwest Liberty News as well, and hopefully you'll support the show and help pass them around spread them around to your friends and family, and even people that you don't know and don't like. Send it to them too. Make them mad. Especially send them to liberals. Send my videos to liberals. Please do. Please don't send them all to liberals. So they're going after, quote unquote, assault weapons. Of, you know, obviously they can't pass up an opportunity to try to take away more of our rights. And it's such a misnomer, this quote unquote assault weapon ban. Basically, these are semi-automatic rifles. You know this, right? I mean, they're basically semi-automatic rifles. They just have the rails, and they got the pistol grip, and they got the extended stock, and they just look, I guess, scary. I guess they look scary. So because they look scary, they are considered, quote-unquote, assault rifles. Do you know that the I was just talking about doctors, I believe, in hospitals on my last broadcast here at 10 a.m. And what people don't understand is it's more dangerous to go to the hospital than it is to live in a neighborhood with people that are armed. By far. The numbers are outrageous. How much more dangerous it is to go into the hospital and get a hospital procedure, or certainly if you spend any time in the hospital overnight, compared to your chance of being harmed by gun violence in an armed society, is I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but it's believe me, hospitals kill more people than gun crime does every year. But they don't report this. Of course, this is doesn't fit their narrative. If there was a breaking news report every time somebody died in a hospital because of wrong medications, wrong surgeries, leaving things inside people's body cavity and sewing them up, wrong injections, you name it, right? Misdiagnosis. If you added all that up across America and compared to the amount of people that are murdered with a handgun, would it even be close? I mean, the numbers just are there. The statistics are there. It's more dangerous for you to do that. But, you know, of course, they can't report that because what are you going to do? Close down hospitals? You know how many people die every year in auto accidents? What, 50-something thousand people a year die? 53,000 people a year die in auto accidents. Where's the movement to ban the cars? I mean, is there movement for that? I know now they're trying to ban the cars, but that's for a different purpose. It's for their fraudulent green initiative, the scam they're trying to pull. This is the latest scam. They're always running a scam, and many times, you know, several scams are running concurrently. As a matter of fact, usually there are. So this is what we're up against here with these people. It's nothing truthful comes out of them. If their lips are moving, then you know they're lying. And frankly, they have no jurisdiction over us. They cannot tell us what to do, that we're not their property, right? As I stated on my last program, in law, you can only control what you own, right? You can only make decisions about items or property if you own it. Otherwise, you can't do this. Like I stated on my last show, if you wanted to put a bird bath in your neighbor's yard because you thought it looked nice there, so you had it delivered and put in place and battled with him because you thought it improved the neighborhood, and because it spread out the chance for disease, it improved the health of the neighborhood, so you have to put a bird, he has to put a bird bath in his yard. And then all the neighbors get behind him and say, yeah, that's right. That's right. You do have to put that bird bath in your yard because it is going to make the neighborhood safer. Think about how preposterous that is. Do you think that any court would allow your neighbor to install a structure in your yard, like without your permission? No, of course not, because it's not their property. It's your property. And it's really just as simple as that. That really is what the distinction needs to come down to. These people that overlord over you and want to force you to wear a mask and get jabs and, you know, fall in line. The question to them is, am I your property? Do you have a proof that I'm your property? You have a contract with me? Or I have a contract with your service corporation? You know, I suggest that you look up Christopher James. I think it's A Warrior Calls. I'm reaching out to Christopher several times. I'm trying to get him on the broadcast. We've emailed back and forth, but we haven't set it up yet. So I really would like to have him on the broadcast to talk about this out of his own mouth. But essentially speaking, you know, the questions that he asks these people that are these overlords that try to force you what to do, you know, to bend to their will, you just simply ask them if you are their property. Am I your property? And they're not going to probably admit that they think they are, but they're not going to admit that. And ask them if they have a contract with them or with their service corporation. You understand, these people have no right to tell you to do anything. Only if you comply. That's the only reason they get away with what they're getting away with, is because we allow them to. They have no lawful authority over us. They don't, because of those things I just mentioned. You cannot control something that you don't own. It's preposterous to think otherwise. But they do. They float that out there, and a lot of people buy that lie. I mean, look how dangerous it was at some point to walk around without a mask on and try to walk into the store. I had someone try to stop me from going in. I said, I'm not wearing it. I'm not doing it. And I just blew past him, and I don't know if anybody came up to me or not. I think it was at Costco. And the person at the door tried to give me my mask, and that was before they got really hardcore. I think they got kind of hardcore. Zero tolerance, I believe. But they had a manager there at this local Costco that I think was fairly, you know, reasonably minded. And I believe he was pretty lax on that. That changed. So is that going to happen again? Are they going to try to utilize another lockdown or another scare? Or I tell you, you know, it worked really well for them the first time. It really, really did. It worked really well for them the first time. Are they going to try it again? They might. They might. Is it going to work as well this time as last time? I suggest to you, no chance. There's still going to be a lot of people that are going to fall in line. A lot of people that are going to do what they're told. And, you know, I guess I'm to the point where if you want to do what you're told and fall in line and follow the government mandate and do what you're told to do by your quote-unquote leaders who really have no authority over you, they really don't. If you want to go ahead and do that, it's up to you, right? I'm much more libertarian-minded to the point where you can do whatever you want to do as long as it doesn't infringe upon my rights and harm me or my family. I don't really care. If that's the way that you want to do it, that's great. Okay, fine. I think we could coexist that way, no problem. But if you want to make a decision for your family to get everybody vaccinated or wear a mask or whatever other ridiculous, false, and fraudulent mandate they try to foist upon us, if you want to participate in that, that's up to you. Just don't try to force that upon me and my family. That's what I say. Just don't do that. You want to do it for you and your family? That's up to you. That's not my business. And what I do is not your business. So I think as long as we keep that sort of as a standard, I think everything, we can coexist, everything will go fine moving forward. Now, I suggest to you that I don't suppose it's going to be like that. I suppose there's going to be these masked police that are going to apparently anoint themselves, you know, defenders of all that's good and right and true, and they're going to virtue signal and, you know, wear 2 or 3 masks maybe and then come down upon you and try to belittle you and berate you for not wearing 1 mask. You know, and you realize how ridiculous it is when you hear their my body, my choice argument. This is one of their mainstays. This is one of their foundational arguments. What used to be, until I think they finally realized, wow, we really can't say that too much anymore because, well, gee whiz, how can we say my body by choice and then tell people that you have to wear masks? So I think they realized that was a losing slogan, but it doesn't mean that they don't still act in that way. I mean, you understand the hypocrisy. The hypocrisy it's just off the charts. And that is really one of the things that is going to be, I believe, their demise, is the ridiculousness of the positions that they take and the open just disdain that they have for people and for humanity. And I mean, think about it, folks. Just one example about the baby formula shortage. Now, I wasn't there down in at the border. Those photos that were going around, I can't personally verify that I've seen the photos. But the reporting that came out of those photos was that there was plenty of baby formula at the border for the illegal migrants that were coming across the border, and there's no baby formula for actual children that are here in this country. You know, when you look at that and you look at the fact that the pipelines have been shut down at a time when we're at the highest gas prices pretty much in history, we've released the strategic reserves and sold them over to China. We've stopped construction of the wall. We have basically stopped enforcing the borders, pretty much. We're sending billions and billions and billions of dollars in aid to foreign countries while people in this country languish in poverty and struggle to make ends meet. This is, you know, I don't know what other thing I can say except that we're being run by crooks. We're being run by just hardcore crooks. They're criminals. Criminals are running things. And the reason that criminals are running things is because criminals generally, that's their nature. But they can't do that. Regardless of their nature, they're not going to get away with it if people don't allow them to. That's the only reason that evil continues to flourish, is because people don't stand up and do anything about it. We outnumber them by a lot. We outnumber them by a lot. But what they have that we don't have is the initiative. That's what the Patriot movement lacks, what the Liberty movement lacks. They lack initiative. Either A, they lack initiative, or on the flip side, as I've talked about before, the great thing about Patriot groups is they're usually full of alpha males, the true Patriot groups. The bad thing about the Patriot groups is they're usually full of alpha males. So that makes for an interesting combination, an interesting dynamic, where you know the laws of nature, right? And the laws of, you know, there can only be so many quote-unquote alpha males. And I think that's one of the reasons, not the only reason. I think there's certainly some infiltration that has gone on, without a doubt, in some of these quote-unquote liberty groups or patriot groups, even here in the Valley. And I think that is one of the reasons that there's been division. I think other reasons are because of that, because of the strong personalities of people in these type of groups, right? You know, these type of people in these groups, and like myself, I don't want really government telling me what to do, and I really don't want anyone telling me what to do. Now, that's not saying that I can't work along with people, and, you know, we can certainly, if there's a leadership structure and everything is done, you know, according to, done properly and that type of thing. Sure, of course. But, you know, generally speaking, these patriot groups are, you know, they're loosely organized. And there are, you know, there's no one really, for the most part, you know, a commander or somebody like in charge that's, you know, throwing down rules that people have to follow. It's not that way. There's a lot of independent people that are quote-unquote patriots, and they come together occasionally in group settings and share ideas and, you know, talk about common things. But for the most part, most of the people I think in the patriot movement are, like I said, alpha male. I'd say lone wolf is probably not the right word to put it, but certainly fiercely independent. Certainly fiercely independent, I would say that. So that sometimes causes, unfortunately, sometimes that causes friction within groups. And, you know, you've said this on this show before, one of the reasons that the Democrats, the liberals, even have gained any type of a foothold at all, I mean, any type of foothold at all, and this isn't the, you know, magic bullet or silver bullet that answers everything, but I think it's just one component. The liberals can, you know, disagree on 95% or 97% of everything. But the 3% that they agree on, they'll stick together till death. They'll stand behind each other. You know, one will lie, the other will stand behind it and swear it's the truth. They'll cover up. They'll commit fraud. They'll all that 3% binds them together till death. Conservatives, on the other hand, can agree on 97% of everything. But that 3% that they disagree on completely destroys everything, and it breaks them up and causes division. And, you know, I think blaming anybody, that's just the nature of those groups. The groups that I've been, you know, I consider myself a member of that club, whatever you want to call it, patriots or constitutionalists. I don't know, whatever label you want to put on it. I'm pro-America. I love America. I'm for America. So whatever, you know, whatever group that puts me in, that's the group I'm in. I'm for America prospering and doing better and, you know, rising people up and lifting people's incomes and their intellect and you know, their technology and their independence and the government doing the other thing, the opposite, you know, getting smaller, getting so small that we can barely even recognize it. That's the type of federal government that I'd like to live under. So let's make that clear. So this is where we're at right now in this country, right? So we're at a crossroads. And this is something that I've been mentioning for quite some time on this broadcast and others. We are at a crossroads right now. We have to decide where we want to go as a nation and what type of do we want to live under tyranny? Do we want to live under liberty? Do we want to live under the flag of tyranny or the flag of liberty? I mean, it's really all up to us, right? Again, we outnumber them. It's ridiculous how much we outnumber these scoundrels, right? All we have to do is just activate. We just have to do something. And as I stated before, we don't need violence. We don't need to break, you know, chairs over people's back or break out knives, motorcycle chains or anything like that. We don't need to do that. We really don't. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't have, you know, plenty of firearms and ammunition to defend yourself, certainly. But to be able to defeat these scoundrels, all we have to do is just not comply. We just have to say we're not going to do it anymore. We're not going to do it anymore. We're not going to do it anymore. That's all we have to say. We're done. We're finished. You can say it. You can make these proclamations. You can hold these hearings, and you can, all your pomp and circumstance, you can pass these fraudulent laws and these unconstitutional mandates. We're just not going to comply anymore. You can say it. You can try to sell it. We're just not going to buy it. All we got to do is stand up as a group and say that. And enough of us say that. They can't do anything about it. What are they going to do? They don't have enough jails to put us all in. I mean, think about it, folks. We outnumber them. I mean, the number is, it's astronomical. I mean, perhaps millions to one we may outnumber these people, these cretins. But we just have to have the courage to stand up and do something. That's what we lack. We lack courage. We lack men. We lack men being men. That would solve everything. That would solve everything if men would stand up and be men and protect women and children and those less privileged like they should in a society. If men would just readopt the role that they're supposed to have, all this would go away. All would go away. Not immediately, but in not too long a time. That's for sure. But, you know, this has to be done. You know, you have to... You know, me saying it, you saying it, the people watching this show passing it around saying, everybody has to come to these terms in their own, you know, their own mind, their own heart. I mean, I don't know what else has to happen to motivate people and to activate them. I just don't know what else. Are they going to have to start literally barbecuing children on the front lawn of the White House, like with a spit? I mean, sorry for the visual, but what's it going to take for people to say, listen, we've had enough? Don't know. Wish I did. I wish I had that magic word or that magic term or that plan that I could throw out there that would solve all these issues, but I just don't. But we're going to continue to talk about it. I'm going to call in after this break coming up here, 563-999-3736. 563-999-3736. I'll be back after these brief messages. If you like classic cars, exceptional service, and a money-back guarantee, then the Corner Shop in beautiful downtown Kalispell is the place for you. Whether it's an oil change, engine diagnostic, suspension work, or brakes all around, the Corner Shop has you covered. With expert technicians and a free consultation on all services, you can't go wrong with the Corner Shop. Did I mention the classic cars? While you're waiting for your expert service to be performed, take a stroll through the showroom to see Kalispell's smoothest collection of classic cars. The Corner Shop is conveniently located at 1212 South Main, just south of the courthouse. The Corner Shop is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., so drop by for an appointment or call 755-7777. That's 755-7777. The Corner Shop, Kalispell's full-service auto repair facility.
7K Metals is legacy. They help you leave a legacy for your family. Reasonable and affordable. Anyone can own gold and silver. It creates great generational wealth and residual passive income. No minimum or maximum order. 7K Metals has a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating. It's about leaving a legacy for your family. It's about helping people. Now is the time to find out more information about protecting yourself. Call Carla at 406-855-2761. That's 406-855-2761. Today is a great time to buy gold and silver as a hedge against poor government decisions and potential economic collapse if history repeats itself. Take control of your financial future. Call Carla at 406-855-2761. 406-855-2761. Call now, 7K Metals, and ask about your legacy.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Legacy and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest are known for high-quality, great-tasting, GMO-free, nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
Okay, folks, thanks for hanging out to the break. I'm your host, James Wright. This is Northwest Liberty News, libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. That's libertylinks.io/Jim's Links. And, you know, I'm having an emergency conference after this broadcast with Mike Adams and my heirloom seed guy. Got some information from him. He lives in Georgia now, but he grew up in Florida and worked many years in these large agricultural farms down in Florida with like 10,000-acre farms. There's a bunch of them down there, of course, because it's a tremendous growing down there. He talked to me, called me last night. And again, that's why we're going to have a three-way call with Mike here coming up not too long after the broadcast, hopefully to get this information out. He has said that he still has many friends that are in that industry. He was in there for a long time working with these farms, and they're telling him that half the farms are about to fail. He says that they have a bumper crop, but there are no trucks to move the produce. Literally, the food is rotting because there's no trucks to move the produce, and the burden is too great for a lot of these farms, and they're going to be, he said. He's getting reports that half of them are going to be closing. This is this on top of the all the farms, another egg plant with chickens got destroyed here within the last week. There's more than 10 now that have mysteriously had planes crash into them or caught on fire. Folks, this is an engineered collapse. It's an engineered famine. It's an engineered takeover. And, you know, they want us dead. And the ones that aren't dead, they want us weak, unable to fight back, disarmed. and preferably, in their case, ill and taking on their vaccines all the time. This is their plan. This is their American dream. So it's a battle of American dreams, right? Their American dream is to have us all enslaved, what's left of us, after they kill off a large percentage of the population. Their dream is to have us enslaved from cradle to grave. That's their American dream. Our American dream, of course, is to live a life of freedom and a liberty and personal choices and a life without being under the thumb of tyranny. That's our American dream. So these are obviously diametrically opposed. You understand this? So they're not going to give up. It's never in the history of this country. And if you have an example, please send it over to me in the chat room or over to me in Facebook. Show me an example of where a tyrannical government has ever relinquished control and turned it back over to the populace because they felt bad because of the way they treated them. Or they realized, you know, we've realized the error of our ways, so we're going to turn your country back over to you and let you self-govern. We apologize. Please just don't hang us from the gallows after we make this deal. How often do you think that's happened? Can someone send it to me? Please, anybody. Can I get a witness? I don't think so. I don't think you're going to be able to find it. You can keep searching, but it's not there. They never relinquish control. It always has to be taken from them. And again, this doesn't have to be done violently, although historically it has been. It doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be. Non-compliance is a brilliant strategy, especially with the numbers that we have. We just throw ourselves against the wheels of the machine and grind it to a halt. We throw ourselves against the gears and grind it to a halt. People go on strike and they don't run things. They don't run the buses. They don't run the subways. They don't run the taxi services. They close down the offices, right? This they can't overcome. They can't overcome mass noncompliance. It's impossible. It's impossible for them to. Because they don't want to kill every single one of us. They do want a slave class left over to do their bidding for them. Of course, you know, that are all vaccinated and have passports and vaccine passports. And, of course, probably a digital chip at that point that tracks everywhere you go, if they have their way. This is a dystopic future, one that is not going to be very good for the human being if they continue to move forward without and we don't stop them. Now, I know there's a lot of these cameras going up here around Flathead Valley. I'm going to have Amanjabi on the line on the show here again. From what I'm understanding is, and this may seem radical, but no one knows who these cameras or face recognition cameras are. No one knows where they're from. These county commissioners say they're a private company, so that we need to start taking them down. We need to start taking them down and destroying them, and let's see who crawls out of the woodwork, who crawls out of the freaking sewer, who tries to object to us tearing them down. Because this is our community. We don't have to put up with facial scanners. I didn't vote for that. Did you vote for that shit? I didn't. All right? We don't have to put up with it. We need to take these down, and I'm going to hopefully lead the charge to help do that. There's so much going on right now, I haven't had a chance to get that coordinated. I don't know if I can coordinate everything, but I'm on board for helping broadcast it. We need to remove these facial recognition because it's the city doesn't even know who owns it. It's a private company. Who is the private company? The only way to find out who the private company is to have them move towards you in a legal capacity. And then that flushes them out and we see who they are. I'd like to know who's paying for this. Because we don't have to put up with it. No one voted for this, from what I understand. From what I understand, unless I'm getting bad information. No one voted for this. So, is that radical? You know what? Who cares? Who cares? We're in radical times. These are radical times. They're trying to kill us. They're trying to kill you and your family. I don't know how I can put that any more clear. They're trying to kill you. They're trying to murder you. You and your family, they have a target on their back from the quote-unquote government that is running things. This is not hyperbole. Not hyperbole. So, what do you do when someone tries to kill you? You have to defend yourself. At any rate, feel a little ramped up today, as you can probably tell. Derek Skies will be here. I expect him to come here. As a matter of fact, I probably have to unlock the door here in a minute. But I do expect Derek Skies to be here next door in the studio. He's coming in today to talk about the HB 572 bill that was passed. And I'll bring that up. I have that on, I have that somewhere on my, I have that somewhere on my computer here, and I'll bring it up. But it is the school martial law that was passed. Of course, we see what happened again. We saw what happened here recently with this, the shootings. A couple of them were foiled. You know, and again, understand that the stuff that comes out of the media, it's hard to really know what's going on these days and what's true and what to believe. Believe me. Trust me. I know this. As a preface, I don't depend upon mainstream media to give me truthful information. Matter of fact, I don't believe anything that they say. were these children killed that day? You know, I wasn't there. I'm not saying they weren't, but it, I have seen some stuff that makes me pause, gives me pause. It certainly is unusual. Now, keep this in mind. You know, we've talked about, I've done a show on false flags, several of them, as a matter of fact. I think if you just go to my Rumble channel and type in false flags, you can see. I don't know how where they're even at. There may be some on another Rumble channel. I've got several video platforms. I just can't keep up. but I think if you go to the Rumble channel and type in false flags, I just did one a couple of weeks or 3 or 4 weeks ago maybe. But, you know, this is par for the course. We knew these things were going to happen. Even in a false flag, it doesn't necessarily mean that people didn't die, that there weren't casualties. It just means that it was sort of allowed to happen, or it was orchestrated or coordinated to happen for a purpose. And just a little bit of a recap, you know, as a sort of just an intro to the false flag. You think about what we talked about, a village, for example. They attack someone, you know, warring tribes attack a village. There's three warring tribes. One of the tribes attacks another village and makes it look like it's the other tribe. And these two tribes get into it with each other. And, you know, they battle and they have casualties. And then the other tribe moves in and takes over. And it's a false flag. It wasn't really the person that committed the act. It wasn't really them. It was a false flag. It was false. It was a con. And this has happened quite a bit throughout history. If you look at 1993, the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, Rashad Salam was the guy's name. They tried to train him. They tried to set him up. He finally figured out that he was going to be the patsy, and he started recording all of the correspondence that he would have with the FBI. And he went into court, and they had a stack of recordings that showed that they were trying to set him up to be the fall guy for the 1993 bombing. Of course, he never got charged or went to jail for that because he had the goods on the feds, on the crooked feds. I've said this on my broadcast numerous times. I believe that it's going to happen, and that's why I keep saying it. But I don't know if it's the governor. I don't know if it's the legislature. I don't know if it's the attorney general. But someone needs to politely ask the FBI to leave Montana before they set up an honest Montana man or woman for a crime. This is what they do. This is their MO. I don't think there's any more proof needs to be brought out. Have you seen the story recently, and I don't have it up, where they were busted trying to groom this mentally ill young man into being a shooter? Think about it, especially for people that are in conservative states. You know that the crooks running the government, they're certainly not conservative, and they certainly don't have any love for you whatsoever. Why would you want their police force in your state? Why would you want the police force of the enemy in your state, operating in your own state? It doesn't make sense to me. We need to have some people that have the guts to stand up and say leave. That's what we need. We need to kick them out of Montana. If that's, who's got the political will to do that? Probably not. No one. Probably no one. No one probably has the political will to do that. If I was governor, I would do that. I would do that if I was governor. I'm not running for governor. Don't want to be governor. No desire even to in a million years. I'm just saying, the situation is reversed, and I was the governor, I would start talking to the legislators and seeing how we could draft legislation to ask to get the FBI out, kick them out, kick them out. What's the use? What's their use? What do they do that benefits anybody in this state that the sheriff's department couldn't do as well? We take this federal money, whatever money we send to the feds, and we divert it to the local sheriff's departments, which we don't have money for right now. And we beef up their cybercrime units. We beef up their, you know, emergency task force response teams or whatever they call them, right? Because these are going to be people in your community. They're going to be your neighbors, right? They're going to be drawn from your neighborhood. This is what needs to be done. We don't need the federal government to do anything, because they don't do anything except commit crimes. That's what they do. They're a crime organization. It's organized crime. Government is organized crime. It's organized crime. They take money from one person and they give it to others. They take money from you and they give it to other people. What does a criminal do? What does a thief do? A thief robs you, takes money that belongs to you and either keeps it for himself or gives it away or splits it up with a group. What's the difference? Seriously, what is the difference? What's the difference between an organized mafia and the federal government right now, as we sit here today? There's not a whole lot of differences. Not a whole lot of differences at all. The federal government, you know, has bigger guns and drones, and I don't think La Cosa Nostra ever had those things. You know, if they were allowed to operate, you know, like they were and flourish in the old days, they may, but that's another point altogether. I didn't really plan on ranting here for so long, but I haven't ranted in a long time. It's been a long time since I've been on the radio here and ranted. I usually have guests and a lot more mild-mannered than I am today. I guess I got an edge on me today. I'm just a little bit fed up with things. You know, you have those days where you just get pretty much fed up with things. It's one of those days. If you want to call in and banter, 563-999-3736. 563-999-3736. I probably could get a Montana number, maybe. But that's the random number that's generated by by Blog Talk. So I guess these days it really doesn't matter. I don't really think area codes matter these days. I don't know about cell phone plans, but I think that all cell phone plans pretty much are nationwide now. I don't think they do the whole area code. I think that's for landlines. Geez, who has those anymore? There's not many people that have landlines anymore. They're probably the smart ones that do. It's probably smart to have an actual wired landline at your house. You know, because who knows what's going to happen to the technology portion of things. Who knows? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what the future is. All I know is that we have a lot more control over it than we may think we do. All we have to do is just proclaim that control. That's all it is. It's not a matter that we don't have it. We have it, right? We already have it. We are the government. We are the people that are supposed to run things. Like that's already built in. We're just not claiming it. That's the problem. We're just not claiming it. You know, that's the step that we're missing. And that takes courage. And that takes boldness. And that takes people that are not afraid to step out and you know, move away from the herd. And, you know, that is what they have for so long tried to dumb down in people to bury that initiative to speak out and to rise up and to stand up against tyranny. Because inherently people want to be free. They don't want to be run by tyrants. People don't want to be run by tyrants. They want to be free. But they don't want that feelings and that desire and the desire to be free and to break away from the tyranny. They don't want either. They don't want that exhibited. They don't want, because then it catches on. And then other people get courage. You know, and that's why people like myself and others, I think, do what we do, is because we're hoping that it gives other people courage, because that's really what we lack. You know, it's not like we're dumb. We're pretty smart collectively. We make dumb decisions a lot, you know, me included. But generally, you know, generally speaking, we're innovative. Well, we overcome things in this country, right? We're pretty smart. We can solve problems. Right, we can work together as a community. If you look to any time that, you know, there's a flood that's bearing down on a town, everybody gets together and they put up sandbags and they block the infiltration of the water, and they come together as a community. And if it does happen to break through the barrier, people come together to rescue others. It's not like we don't have all the elements or a lot of the elements that we need to be able to bring this country back to, you know, to the type of place that you want to raise your children in. But one of the things that we're missing, sadly, we're lacking, is that courage to just proclaim what is ours. This is our country. This is not a country that doesn't belong to these globalists. It doesn't belong to these elitists, quote unquote. I don't think they're very elite. But this globalist class, it doesn't belong to them. It belongs to us. My grandfather fought in the war and got many medals. I don't know all of them, but I've seen them. My grandmother showed me, and they're pretty impressive about what he did in the war to fight for this nation. Him and many other young men and women. Right? This is our country. It's worth fighting for. Right? We just can't let these globalist elite scumbags come in and take over our country. And that's what's happening. It's because we're just not standing up. We're not telling them no. How about saying no? We're not putting up with it. We're done. I hate to sound like a broken record, but I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say to do except be bold, have courage, have a backbone, stand up and fight for your, if nothing else, fight for your children, for crying out loud. If you're going to do it for you, do it for the nation that you're going to leave them. Do you want your children to have to fight this battle, or do you want to be the one to do it for them? I know my answer. But each person has to come to that in their own way and their own time. Didn't even get a chance to hit the early news today. I guess I had to rant. But it's all not doom and gloom. I really don't think that. I think they're losing. There's no doubt. We are involved in a mass awakening. There is unstoppable. Now it's unstoppable. I think they see this and they know this. I'm not saying that the outlook is not good overall. Generally speaking, I do believe that we're going to throw off these chains of tyranny. And I believe that we're going to break free from these tyrants. I really do. Before that happens, though, and I don't know how many years it's going to be. I don't know about time. I can't even begin to say. But however long it takes, it's going to be a way better world on the other side. But it's going to be painful until we get there. I mean, what I'm understanding here from the sources I'm getting, as we're looking at just a little over 60 days worth of food, and then it's going to be gone, like gone from your shelves, gone from everywhere. If you don't know how to garden or you haven't grown a garden, you're probably going to want to get up to speed on that, because I think everybody's going to be gardeners. What I'm understanding is, well, from people I've had on my show, They forecast 60-70% of the people are going to become gardeners and do garden. So they recommended that you go out and get your rakes now and your shovels now and your wheelbarrows now, because once the, you know what, hits the fan, then all of those items are going to be in the great demand, and they're going to fly off the shelf pretty quickly. Again, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't see the future. But that is just one possible scenario. I can tell you for sure that when I talk to my seed guy, he's a no BS kind of guy. He's not the kind of guy that tells lies and tells stories. He doesn't have a radio show. He doesn't have a news program. He doesn't have any reason to hype anything up or throw out any propaganda. He just called me to tell me the facts. He's telling me that half of these farms down there in South are about to close. They can't ship anything. No one drives. No one will drive the trucks. There's none. It's a math problem. There's way more vegetables than there are trucks to put them in, and fruits and these things. So, you know, I don't think here in Montana we're going to be getting too much produce from Southwest Florida. Our stuff's probably going to be coming from the west, but that doesn't mean it's not any less damaging for the people that are there in you know, that part of the world. That's going to be terrible for them. We don't want our fellow Americans, you know, starving and having hardship and stuff. We don't want this. We don't want this. We want a strong nation. We want a vibrant nation. We want a nation of, you know, of doers. We want a nation of you know, winners and people that overcome adversity and don't become victims. Right? No one, this nation is ever going to become great again if everybody's a victim. You think about it, right? It's you know, listen, bad things happen to you in life sometimes. Get over it. Okay? Just get over it. You know, I mean, take some time maybe to mourn a couple days, 3 days, a week. I don't know, who depends upon how bad it is. But get over it. Bad things happen to good people sometimes. It sucks, but it happens. So, you know, it's not really what happens to you. It's how you handle what happens to you and how you roll with it and how you deal with adversity. Those are going to be the people that are going to make it through what's about to come. Those, that type of mindset, solving problems, figuring things out, right? Being open to alternative ideas and alternative, you know, ways to grow food, ways to help your community, these type of things. Those type of people, that those are the ones that are going to be able to make it past what's coming. If you're just always going to be a victim and that's kind of your default position, that you just, you feel sorry for yourself and you're a victim and all this has been bad for you and boo-hoo and poor me, you're not going to last very long. You're really not. And if some so rude and you're so blunt, but you're just not going to last. In the times that are ahead, being a victim is not going to be a very good default position. That's going to be a losing position. So might as well just stop doing it now. So instead of being a victim, take that same energy and, you know, solve problems, fix things, like come up with solutions. You know, bake a better loaf of bread, fix a better mousetrap, or make a better mousetrap, find a better way to garden, do something, anything. Even if you're a bad example, do something. We're going to take a quick break here. Derek Skies may be, okay, he's outside the door. I'll go let Derek Skies in, and we'll have him here ready to go. He'll be here in just a moment. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back on the other side here. Thanks so much for joining us on Northwest Liberty News. We'll be right back after these brief messages. If you like classic cars, exceptional service, and a money-back guarantee, then the Corner Shop in beautiful downtown Kalispell is the place for you. Whether it's an oil change, engine diagnostic, suspension work, or brakes all around, the Corner Shop has you covered. With expert technicians and a free consultation on all services, you can't go wrong with the Corner Shop. Did I mention the classic cars? While you're waiting for your expert service to be performed, take a stroll through the showroom to see Kalispell's smoothest collection of classic cars. The Corner Shop is conveniently located at 1212 South Main, just south of the courthouse. The Corner Shop is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., so drop by for an appointment or call 755-7777. That's 755-7777. The Corner Shop, Kalispell's full-service auto repair facility.
7K Metals is legacy. They help you leave a legacy for your family. Reasonable and affordable. Anyone can own gold and silver. It creates great generational wealth and residual passive income. No minimum or maximum order. 7K Metals has a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating. It's about leaving a legacy for your family. It's about helping people. Now is the time to find out more information about protecting yourself. Call Carla at 406-855-2761. That's 406-855-2761. Today is a great time to buy gold and silver as a hedge against poor government decisions and potential economic collapse if history repeats itself. Take control of your financial future. Call Carla at 406-855-2761. 406-855-2761. Call now, 7K Metals, and ask about your legacy.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Legacy and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, Patriot Prepared.
Okay, so I hit the wrong button there before the commercial got over. Sorry about that, folks. I was just so excited that Derek showed up. I guess I just messed up my... Derek, go ahead and hit the inline button there. Do you have an inline button in the microphone there? Is that working? There you go. How about that? Okay, so, okay, here's what you do. Okay, go over there. You see the computer there? Just hit the button that says unmute. And you should be good to go. There you go. We got him. The man, the myth, the legend, Derek Skies is with us. Okay, so now hit the button to disc now and you should be good to go.
Man, you would think the liberals are in charge of the audio here. They don't want to hear me speak at all.
Yeah, right on. Derek Skies, candidate for Montana Public Service Commission, longtime legislator here in Montana, and I've been on the show many times, a friend of the show, and we're delighted to have Derek here on the broadcast today, and that we're going to be talking not necessarily so much about politics, I guess. I mean, there's a political flavor to it, but it's really not about, you know, what we're talking about today, I think, you know, really transcends politics because we're talking about the safety of children, which, you know, I don't think should really have any political label on it whatsoever. If you want to know the truth, Derek, and I think you probably feel the same way. And we're talking about the bill, the Marshall bill that you actually introduced and was signed. Let's see, HB 572. And as soon as I get the screen fixed here on this end here, I'm trying to do a little bit of editing to get the screen looking a little bit better and cut out some of this black background. I can bring up the bill and we can discuss it. But first of all, Derek, first of all, thanks for being here. How's it going as far as the race for public service commissioner? We're coming down to the wire here. We'll just start with that and then we'll go over to the good stuff or the bad stuff, I guess. How's it going with the public service commission race? I know there's been a couple of debates. I know that you're active, very active. You put up signs. I know you talk to folks. I know you go to different events. How's it going? Give us an overall view of your race for PSC.
Well, thanks, Jim, for having me on the show, and good afternoon or good morning, whichever time frame is for your listeners. Every time you run a race in that last week, we're in that last post, or I guess pre-7-day deadline. It'll be next Tuesday. And you always, what else can I do? Have I done enough? You know, we don't do polling at this size of a race, even though it's four counties, but I have an aggressive campaign of volunteers, and we're checking off all the checks in the boxes. I'm going to meet as many folks as possible, my volunteers to help me out. I got signs, I got lit. And so I think it's going really well. I'm lucky I have a strong resume and a strong history, and it's relatively easy for the voter in Montana to figure out what I am and what I stand for.
Yeah, you're certainly never at a loss for words when I've known you, Derek. So no one has to wonder what Derek Skies has got on his mind, because generally you just say it. And
that's true.
I can respect that because I am certainly that way in a lot of areas, no doubt. But yeah, so this we're kind of coming up here June 7th. So that's only just a few days away. Next Tuesday is going to be the big day. And I think they're having something going on over at the here in Flathead Valley, which is really where we're broadcasting from. I think they're going to have something going on over at the Republican headquarters, aren't they, Derek? They're going to have a election night coverage or something like that. What's going on? Tell us what's going on there, if you don't mind.
Yep, yeah, it's on reserve. So as soon as you come off of Highway 93 and you're heading east, it's where the old Country Curl was, that little office kind of offset from the highway right before Applied Materials. Obviously, if you're coming from the other way, if you're coming east down Reserve and you're heading toward 93, then it's on your right after Applied Materials. The polls closed at 7, I believe, and maybe 8 o'clock, 7 or 8.
I thought it was 7, but I could be wrong. I thought
there you go.
Seven.
So we really won't get any preliminary data till maybe 8 o'clock. A little bit of they'll do some absentee counting up at the last point, but really we don't really kind of figure things out until closer to 10. But there'll be a lot of interest, and so yeah, the headquarters I believe is open at 5:30. So any come as you are, anytime you want. We're gonna have a couple of computers set up and tracking. I think there might be a big screen TV kind of following things, and yeah, come on down. And I know a lot of the individual campaigns are having their own kind of parties, and so this is just kind of a catch-all for any generic Republicans that want to swing by and say hi.
We're not going to have a vaccine passport to get in, are we, Derek?
No, sir. No, we took care of that in the legislature.
No, I know that. I know that. Okay, so another thing you took care of in the legislature was HB 572, and let me bring that up here on the screen so we can go over it together, because that's really the reason that I wanted, like I always like to have you on, of course, but that's one of the reasons I want to have you on here today, was to talk about HB 570, what I keep forgetting, 572 is what it is. All right, I just got to bring up the right screen with it on there. Okay, there we go. Okay, now the folks can see it. Okay, here it is. It is a Montana, this is from the Montana legislature site, folks. leg.mt.gov or mtgov. So this is where you can go to find out about this. What we have here this was first introduced by you. It is an establishment of a Montana school marshal program. It was passed into law. It looks like it was signed by the governor on the 14th of May, almost over a year ago now. Tell us if you can, Derek, first of all, we see what's going on these days, of course. We've had several school shootings in the past. We've just had recent school shootings, and I guess they foiled other school shootings. Apparently, it's been reported. First of all, is this a year ago? What kind of precipitated you to introduce this bill here? You seem to be a little prescient when it comes to that. A and B. What has happened since then? I don't know if there's any school marshal programs even in place. Is it a funding thing? Was there funding attached to this bill when it was passed? Is there money there to do that? Just give us sort of the general overview of it, just to kind of put everybody on the same page. Derek Skeets.
Excellent. Thanks, Jim. I have a lot of friends in the NRA. And 4 years ago, actually, the previous cycle, Texas had passed a bill, and it was, I think it was called the Sentinel, the school Sentinel program. And the basic gist of the program is this. We have a bunch of very rural schools in Montana. Those rural schools, if they want an SRO, they have to go to the county most times, you know, because say it's a rural school, say like Buffalo, Montana, middle of nowhere, it's not an incorporated city, and so it relies on the county for its law enforcement. So every school that wants an SRO would actually take away a county a deputy to sit in that school. So a lot of those schools didn't have SROs. And so the idea in Texas, they had a similar problem. They said, hey, why don't we just create a situation where the state still certifies the officer, but the school can hire the officer as an employee. And that was the whole idea of the school marshal program. And when I brought it last cycle, I had some additional changes. What I wanted to do was allow a teacher who currently was in the school, he could then go to the Montana Academy, the Law Enforcement Academy, and go through the SRO training and then become a certified SRO officer, and then come back and you know, continue to work as an employee in the school with that new certificate and training. I didn't have any money in the bill for that additional influx of folks to be taught at the academy. So the bill died from that and a couple other concerns. Well, I worked with the academy folks, got all that money out of the bill, so there is no money in the bill. And the way we restructured the bill was you basically take either a current officer or say a retired officer who's moved into the state that can then just go to the Montana Post Council to get their certification, the Montana Post are the guys who certify the fact that you could be in law enforcement in Montana, the licensure kind of folks. And so you could be a retired guy come to Montana, because there's a bunch of those kind of police officers that have left these other departments. And maybe this could be another opportunity for them to get gainful employment in Montana. They go to the school board, they get their post-certification, the school board, the board of trustees, then hires them as a school marshal. Now, the cool thing is I left it entirely up to the school boards and the trustees to define exactly what the marshal does. At the very minimum, the marshal's job is to secure the school for a shooter. That's the whole purpose of the bill. I didn't want to cloud the field where the school marshal could arrest you for illegal drug use or, you know, all these other kind of things that a municipal SRO could do. I just wanted it to be an opportunity for the county to have a way to protect their students. Excuse me. And so you could take that school marshal, say, and you have a small rural school. You could take that marshal and have half of his day be PE teacher and the other half be school marshal. So it was totally wide open for the schools to allow themselves to do it. When I designed the bill this way, I also went to the Montana Rural School Board Associations and the other school board. There, I think there's three different school board associations. Went to them. They loved the bill. They supported it, endorsed it, helped me push it across the finish line. And so as far as I got a call out to those guys, because you told me to come on the show here a couple of days ago, I put a call out because I kind of wanted to get a total of how many schools have actually used this. But I've heard now that, like right here in Kalispell, you know, we have a junior high, we have multiple elementary schools, we have two high schools. You know, that could easily be 5 to 6 to 8 officers taken out of the municipal city ranks, whereas with this bill, those schools could hire their own guys and not take away from our local law enforcement in the city. And so that was the gist of the bill, where it came from, and its journey to get here today. And I have to continue to follow up, Jim, and figure out exactly how many schools have taken advantage of this.
Well, you know, Derek, first of all, thanks for introducing that, and I think that's an important thing. I certainly, as I talked about before you came on in last hour, I'm a personal liberty guy like you are, and we always have to try to balance the fact that people do have personal, you know, liberties, and they need to be respected, and you have to really put that sort of up against the safety of, you know, children. And sadly, we live in a society these days where people go into schools and shoot defenseless children that are sitting there just obviously trying to learn. I mean, it's demonic. I don't know what else to say except it's demonic, because it's certainly not from heaven, that's for sure. So that's the world that we live in, sadly. So I'm thinking that, you know, these school marshals, I'm not so much in favor of the teachers having firearms, Derek, because some of these teachers, as far as I'm concerned, they're loony. They don't need to be, they don't even, I'm afraid to have a pencil, a sharpened pencil would make me nervous with some of these teachers. So I think a marshal is a good idea. And my thought is maybe one single point of entry at the school where the marshal is there. And, you know, people say, well, that's against my rights. Hey, listen, we're not saying you can't come in. We're just saying you have to go through this process right here because we're living in a world of buttholes that go into school and shoot children. You know what I'm saying, Derek? So I'm thinking maybe totally. A single point of entry. People have to, you know, I mean, you see some guy walking in greasy hair and a long overcoat in the middle of July. He ain't letting them into school or whatever in the middle of, you know, June. But, you know, we have some discretion. But what's your thoughts? Is that what you're thinking? Single point of entry, a marshal at the door, that type of thing, fortified doors, fortified entrances around the perimeter?
That's an excellent assessment and thought. The cool thing about an SRO, which stands for a school resource officer, part of that training is security, is campus security, and not necessarily armored points of entry, but limited points of entry. You know, all the little side doors, the loading docks, all of that remain closed during class and have only really one or two points of entry. The key would be the points of entry are where the SROs are. So if a shooter comes in to do damage, he first has to deal with the gun carrying SRO. And so that maybe a two-step entry, but that's part of the SRO's job, is to go to that school. Some of these schools will use the SRO for just a couple of months just to help them secure the school and then implement a program for them to help them have that security protocols in place, and then maybe let the SRO go, because the SRO's job, a good chunk of the SRO's job, is to assess the school's security needs. And so the SRO does all the above. He comes in, or she, and they set up the whole program. They talk to the administration. Here's your weak points. Here's your blind spots. Maybe we should have a two-stage opening where you come in to begin. Once the classes are going, you come into the entryway first before you're clear to get into the campus at all. Make sure the campus is enclosed or enclosable. You know, maybe need a fence around the facility. All that is the assessment, and then the second part is the SRO doing a job. And so, yeah, I think it's critical for our schools. And I agree. I don't want to make our school a fortress. I don't want to have guys walking around in body armor and helmets and larger weapons than handguns. But I do think we need to be pretty smart. At the very least, have cameras at the entry. So if we see someone coming up with a big old trench coat or a firearm, I mean, most of these folks that are coming in to do these problems, you can – it's like this thing in Texas. The guy wrecked his car in the parking lot and was firing at folks in the parking lot. You knew something was coming. I mean, maybe the protocol would be if something like that happens, man, you lock all the doors. He's got to bust the windows and shoot the windows to get in. But you know what I mean? The sad thing about this Texas thing, I've really been diving into it. This, what was it, 48 minutes, Jim, before they engaged the shooter? And they needed the keys to get in the classroom? That's ridiculous. Every classroom I have ever seen has windows on the outside, and the police have a ram where they can get in the door. They should have got to this guy within minutes. It's going to be really sad if we really dig at the bottom of this timeline and we find that it was a total failure of the police department to do their job. And, you know, meanwhile, the Democrats are flailing and, of course, using this crisis as an opportunity to take law-abiding citizens' firearms.
You know, back in Michigan, where I actually grew up most of my life, I was friends with a person that worked at one of the local banks, and they had this particular bank had these bars installed like in the ceiling where they had to hit a button and these bars would come down and it would come down in like in front of where the person stands, and it would lock all of that off and it would keep people from jumping over the counter, you know, to do harm to the tellers. You tell me 2022, we can't have some sort of a system that if we hear an active shooter or something's going on in a school, the principal can't hit a panic button and have some sort of a metal doors or something come down and lock off these classrooms where these people, these madmen and women, well, women, maybe not yet, but maybe one day, these madmen to this point could get in here and, you know, start slaughtering children. I mean, I can't believe that think about it really, Derek, when you step back for a minute, you think about how secure other areas of our country are and the type of security that you have to go through. Even to get on a damn airplane, for crying out loud, you have to go through all these hoops. Last time I went, took my shoes off and checked my shoes or something. I mean, it's madness. So, I mean, they can implement all these procedures, but they can't protect our most vulnerable and innocent members of our society, the children. Something's wrong there, brother. Something is wrong big time.
Yeah. And there needs to be a lot of work on this before the door of the classroom, before the door at the front of the school. This young man down in Texas, he shot his grandmother in the face. God bless her. She was so insanely tough that she picked up the phone and dialed 911.
Yeah, right.
The
on.
Night before, he bragged about how he was going to go shoot up the school. You know, we have Facebook blocks me if I say anything about freedom or the fact that Trump, the election last cycle was stolen by Biden, where they can block me within 1 minute. But they couldn't find this kid, what he was saying and doing. And the fact that this kid wrecked his car outside and was outside the building for approximately 6 to 7 minutes exchanging gunfire. You know, where were the police? Why was there not an SRO on campus that immediately would have reacted to this kid when he was in the parking lot? There are so many steps to this beforehand. And last but not least, Jim, we said repeatedly on this program, I know you've had this stand before, when you've done what you did to these kids in this country for the last 2 years with what these totally horrible failed COVID policies, you've brain damaged these kids. This is something that's going to happen regardless of if you have a gun in the hand or a knife or a pair of scissors or whatever you can get your hands on. This is a mental problem, and we need to look at the – it's funny how this the party in control in America, they're all about root causes when it benefits them for a photo op. But, man, let's dig into the root causes of what happened. It's not the gun in the hand of the kid. It's what's going on in the mind of the kid, and we need to be more cognizant of those kind of problems. Almost every one of these shooters that have gone off, when you interview folks that know him, they all basically say, well, we knew he was unstable, or we knew he was, you know, he could do something like this. why is that even, you know what I mean? Why is that not the highest point on the radar? And watching that kid, the first thing they should have done was figure out if the kid could get access to firearms. You know, go talk to the parents, express their concerns. You know, obviously engage the parents, have the parents help you help the child. But you can't just let this pop off and let it happen and allow 19 people to die needlessly and not solve this problem before he was ever on campus.
I'm going to go down the rabbit hole a little bit with you, Derek, and, you know, it wouldn't be the first time. So we see the FBI setting up everything there in Michigan. We now have seen the reports come out recently where the FBI had tried to set up this mentally ill, I think, 13-year-old to become a shooter. The FBI has been now shown to have over 100 people involved in the January 6th incident. I talked about here Rashad Salam in 1993, the 1993 World Trade Center bomber was set up by the FBI. He had voluminous amounts of information, correspondence with the FBI showing him how they were trying to set him up. They never prosecuted him because he had all the goods. My point being is, how much do you think, or at least is there a possibility that the FBI and CIA, whatever you want to call it, black groups are behind some of these events, because they do serve a purpose for the elitists, the globalists. They do serve a purpose because each and every time they have one of these gun violence things with these quote unquote assault rifles, which I debunked the last hour, assault rifle. When these, every time they have one of these shootings, it does, even people that are staunch supporters, it gnaws away at them. I mean, because no one likes to see children or anybody get slaughtered. I mean, come on, if you're sane, and you know you have two brain cells that function properly, no one wants to see little children slaughtered and killed by guns if you're normal. Derek, what do you think? I mean, how much of this stuff is orchestrated? How much of this stuff is false flags? I mean, and I'm not saying people didn't die, don't get me wrong, but it seems like, you know, we didn't used to have any of this stuff, man. How many times did we have mass shootings when we were kids? Never. I almost never hear it.
I had a rifle on my gun rack in my car in the Columbia Falls High School parking lot.
Right.
I was going to go hunting after school. Yeah, no, it's I can't speak, Jim, specifically to the evidence that the FBI is involved in any one of these instances. I haven't looked at that or seen that.
Yeah, me neither.
But I will say this. I do not trust the FBI. They have been totally politicized. You look at the Strzok and Page and Comey, and you look at all these guys. Just look at that, the evidence we had against Hillary's lawyer and a D.C. jury with three Clintonites on, unanimous, he's not guilty. I don't think we're going to get any justice out of this heavily politicized FBI. And dude, are they involved on the front end of pushing these things so that they can then react on the back end with their obvious attack on the gun? I don't know, but it's obvious that they're using it on the back end to try and take away firearms. I mean, for Biden to go on TV today and talk about the 9mm as a high caliber weapon,
what a dope,
or a round, or, you know, that's ridiculous. What that is, it's the most common caliber in a handgun. And in these instances, they weren't even using handguns. And so it was a 5.56 millimeter round, not a 9mm. And so it is just so blatantly obvious. Bottom line, folks, if you're a criminal and you're going to do something bad, you're going to get your hands on a gun. What the government is trying to accomplish now under the Democrats is to stop you from having the right to defend yourself. That's all this is.
Well,
and Biden says, why do you need a gun with a 30-round magazine? It's because the bad guys can have a gun with a 30-round magazine. They don't go through the background checks. They get a hold of these high-caliber, awesome weapons on the black market. So what, you're going to limit me to a 22 to stop an individual at my door with a 30-round magazine of 5.56? I want a 30-round magazine of 5.56 so I have a chance to defend my family. That's what this number one message we need to constantly hammer as Republicans and conservatives is, the Democrats are trying to take away your ability to defend yourself. I mean, look at that school, Jim. Who ended up going there and getting that guy? An off-duty Border Patrol guy who went next door to a shop and got a shotgun and went in there and did the deed himself because the cops didn't do it. And have you seen the footage outside where they're literally arresting and detaining parents that were going to go in there and try and save their own kids? Nah, that is – somebody needs to go down big time for that. That's unacceptable.
Well, I was talking before last hour about men, if men would rise up, I think maybe before you came on here. And that is what, you know, that's what men do. You see that guy, like you said, grabbed the shotgun, went in there, confronted the danger. You know, Men, real men, they run towards a danger. They run towards it, man. They don't run away from it. Now, I'm not saying you need to be an idiot and, you know, jump into a pool of hot lava to save your friend. Sorry, bad luck. But I mean, you know, you know my point. I mean, we, you know, it's this is what needs to happen. Men need to rise back up and say we're not putting up with it anymore. Derek, what happened to the men, Mr. Skies? Where'd they all go,
hey,
man?
You're not kidding, bro. It's it's between the trans narratives and the men can have babies and all this confusion as to toxic masculinity. I mean, Jim, when we were kids, you know, if I was a kid today with the way I behaved as a kid, and they'd have me on Ritalin and 19 other types of drugs to calm down my desires. What it took was a very hardcore man to keep me in line, namely my father, to keep me and my brothers accountable to proper behavior. So not only were we missing men, we're missing fathers. And then not only are we missing men and fathers, we're missing mothers that want real men in their lives to help us. Now, the pendulum, I think, is finally starting to swing. After this COVID debacle and the way that we did COVID, many, many parents saw the crap that the kids were being taught, saw the culture war for really what it was and what it was doing to our children. And I pray to God that it's allowing a change of behavior that pushes us against this cancel culture left woke BS. And I think that's the only thing that can save us. That, Jim, and honestly, if you look at us historically, right after the Civil War, there was so much rampant corruption. We all thought that in the 1870s, America was going to collapse. The only thing that saved us in the 1870s was revival of our faith in Christ. Man, I've been praying hardcore today for a revival, because out of that revival, men then will understand their role in the family. Men will understand their role in society. And we will understand where we should be when we raise our kids and how we raise our kids.
Well, before that happens, the church needs to be cleansed. We need to get rid of these phony pastors and these hirelings that are not really men of God. They're not. They're false. They're frauds. And I think that, you know, I think we're in a certain point, and I'm not saying the book of Revelation, but I think we're in a point of revelation right now. I really do. I think we're going into some kind of a revelation period where a lot of this stuff and a lot of these deeds that these people have done in darkness are starting to come to the light. And again, it's going to take courage from people, you know, to stand up and say, we're not going to put up with it anymore. They're going to continue to commit crimes. They continue to commit tyranny, and they're going to, you know, force us not lock us down and try to force us in masks. They're never going to stop, Derek. And, you know,
I agree.
How do we deal with the fact, and I pointed this out before, that no time in history has any tyranny ever just relinquished control and given it back to the folks and said, hey, sorry for all the bad things we did. We're going to let you self-govern and run yourself again. People have always had to take that. Freedom's a constant battle, and they've always had to take it back from tyrants throughout history. Do you see it being any different this time?
No, sir. No. And what was that famous saying, that the tree of liberty often needs watering with the bloods of tyrants and the freedom fighters? And now, we may be in that time, and you're exactly right. We may not be in the actual revelation, post, pre, whatever trib, you know, that I'm not discussing that, but we are in a time where evil is on the loose, and the tools of the beast are being applied, notably lies, deception, infiltration and corruption of the church and the message. I mean, if you've seen the latest angle, they're trying to say that the language in the Bible about homosexuality is hate speech. I mean, where are the left going to go? Are they literally going to tell me that certain parts of my Bible have to be removed because it's hate speech? I mean, yeah, it is a battle between the powers and principalities. Now, the beautiful thing is, Jim, yeah, we have some problems in our churches. Of course, if you're Satan, and that's the number one place to start fighting is in God's community.
Sure.
Trying to peel off believers. But we still have a personal relationship with God. We still have God's word. And God is supreme. And so I can't help but think that if we repent of our wicked ways and turn to the Lord, we will once again have his blessings. And none of these things are insurmountable. God has told us repeatedly in his word that with him, we can endure all things, and that we're never going to be in something that we can't endure and overcome with him. And so I have a lot of confidence, Jim, that I've seen so many people come to the Lord in these last, 2 years, and so many eyes are waking up and paying more attention and than ever I've seen before. I think this turnout in this election cycle is going to be just off the scale like it has been across this nation. I think there's so many eyes on the deceivers now that it'll – I'm not saying we can totally stamp out the corruption and them stealing the elections. I'm not saying those things won't continue to occur, but I think it's becoming more and more and more difficult for them to do it.
It is.
Especially
indeed.
Here in Montana.
Well, wind it down here, Derek. Tell us, if we can, about this Marshall program. Is this something that would be working hand-in-hand with the sheriff? You look at Jesse Slaughter, for example, out there in Cascade County, a great constitutional sheriff, I think. He's got a program in his rural high schools where he has uniformed officers go out there and teach the Constitution to students, in the uniform. And I think it's a fantastic program. It's gotten great feedback, and I think the students just love it. Is that is it going to be integrated, Derek, in the finer points of the bill? Will it be integrated with the sheriff's department? Because I think you can, of course, the sheriff can deputize anyone they want to, but I think before that person has arrest ability, they have powers, they have to go through a training, a brief training, 3 or 4 hour training course or something like that. Is that kind of something that is going to be, is that part of the bill where the sheriff works along with the school resource officer?
Yes and no. What Jesse's doing is awesome, but it's an outreach. It's a community outreach program. It's something where he's working to better foster cooperation with his office and schools, so there's a better integration between what students see a police officer do, and the school marshal program is designed. Now, that was one of the things that the police, actually some police folks, actually came out against the bill, and what they had said was, well, how do you know when the police are on a campus and say there's an active shooter, which guy is the school marshal and which guy is the shooter? And well, it's right in the bill. The language is right there. As soon as the school hires the resource officer, that resource officer then must meet and talk and have, you have a picture, you have the phone number, you have the contact information. The minute a school shooting happens, the people like Jesse Slaughter or the sheriff or any of the city police folks, that's the first guy they call is the SRO, is the marshal, because he's on campus with a firearm and a communication device, and he's already established a strong relationship with the law enforcement people, so they know exactly who he is, and he's helping to – he's an incident commander that should be on scene from the moment it begins, not when the emergency vehicle pulls out front 18 minutes later. And so can that school resource officer then integrate in doing things that Jesse's thinking about doing over in the Cascade? Man, yeah, you can. And the cool a part of this bill is it entirely puts it in the hands of the trustees and the superintendents in charge of their schools. If they want this SRO to integrate and do these kind of constitutional trainings, I honestly think we need to get back to training our kids how to handle them and control guns and not be scared of guns and understand guns as the tool that they are. I mean, we're not scared of sewing machines, even though I could pierce my finger. I'm not as scared of a scissors, even though I could really hurt myself. And I use a knife every night when I'm cutting my steak, and I'm pretty confident I'm not going to stab myself with it. Why not start to have programs where we're Montana, for God's sakes. How many of us hunt and fish and trap and we're raised with the culture of the gun? You know, that needs to be done, I would say, specifically for all these new folks that are moving here from other areas that may have this fear of the gun because they've only ever seen it in the hands of a bad guy. I agree. We should use the school marshal program as a great device to show these new residents to Montana that, hey, in fact, in Montana, the gun is a point. It's a shield. It's not a weapon. It's a shield. It protects you from the weapon being used by a bad guy.
Well, Derek, we're going to close out the interview. We didn't have you on here to talk about politics, but we're going to give you an opportunity, if you can, here in final and closing. Tell us where people can find out more about you. You are running for the Public Service Commission. The vote's coming up here on this Tuesday. So go ahead. I'll let you close it out here. Anything you want to say here in closing?
Beautiful. Thanks. You can reach me at DerekSkies@gmail.com. If you want anything in.
Hold on. I've lost your audio. I can't hear you now. I lost your audio for some odd reason. Isn't that weird? Is there something over there? Look at the computer screen. If you look at the computer screen, is it got a message on it or anything? Sorry, folks. I guess we just lost Derek Sauter. He's right, just right next door here in the next door in the office. Okay, can't hear him. At any rate, try hitting the button on the thing now. Hit the little button. Okay. All right. So we're just going to go ahead and we'll close out the show. Sorry, Derek. I mean, right when you were going to give your big close, that happened. You can come on in here and say it at the studio if you want. Come on in. You want to give your close out in here? Come on in. Give you close it out here. We're going to give Derek close the show here for him because the thing went bad. So we're going to have Derek come on in here and close out the show. Come on in, Derek. Have a seat. Go ahead.
So why do I feel like the Wizard of Oz? I just pulled the curtain aside, man. I seen the guy behind the curtain. There's the wizard. Thanks, Jim. You guys know how to reach me. I'm Derek Skies. Derek Skies at Gmail. You can send me an email. My number is 406-212-5493. Call me if you want to talk. I have a website, DerekSkies.com. Although I've had a couple of guys hacking and trashing my website. Shocker, the left loves me so much. And so that might not be the best way, but Google my name, call any known conservative in the legislature. If you're not sure exactly who I am or what I've done or what I stand for, it just takes a couple of easy searches to figure it out. But I thank you, Jim, for having me on the show, and I thank you for the opportunity to push my campaign, and I thank you, the listener, for being here. Have a great day.
You got it. All right, thanks, Derek. I'm going to sign out. All right, folks, there we go. There's Derek Skies. We're going to go ahead and close out the show. NorthwestLibertyNews.com, LibertyLinks.io/Jim's Links. Until next time, this is James White for Northwest Liberty News, saying bye now.